April is tax time, so Morning Edition will spend Tuesdays this month talking about money and what it means to rich people, the poor, and those in between. NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg starts her series with one of the world's wealthiest men, financier and philanthropist George Soros.
Retired now, George Soros ran a hedge fund, buying and selling stocks and bonds and speculating in currencies, and became a multi-billionaire.
You've said that the responsibility of handling money makes you acutely anxious?
Naturally, because if you manage other people's money, you take risks, and that means that you can lose. So there is a tremendous tension. It gives you sleepless nights, psychosomatic diseases. I used to have, you know, backaches. And in fact, the backaches used to be very useful to me in telling me that there's something wrong in my portfolio. My back seemed to know it before my brain did.
Imagine if Wall Street had known that. They'd have sent him for daily x-rays. This is a man who's given backaches, too. His currency trading may have contributed to Asia's financial crisis, a charge he denies. The story of George Soros and money began in Budapest, where he was born 70 years ago. His father was a lawyer who liked living well. Then the Nazis invaded Hungary, and young George started his economics education.
When I was 14, being Jewish, we assumed false identities, and we lived sort of underground. And my father used me to trade in currency, because a 14-year-old boy is not suspected to be carrying currency. He thought it was less dangerous for the kid to do it.
Especially when the kid had blue eyes and blonde hair. While the father helped Hungarian Jews get false papers, his teenager got lessons in trading. Someone had a gold bracelet he wanted to sell. It's worth a lot of money, he told young George, who ran it to black marketeers and got a lesson. Sellers' estimates are not always reliable.
I learned that then.
So when you went to sell it, they said, oh, but look at this thing. It's full of dents. It's awful. It's not worth anything. You learned that.
That's right.
But you also learned about gold being a commodity.
Right, right. That's right.
So they gave you that idea.
Well, of course.
And that the price of it could go up and down.
Right, right.
But these lessons could get you killed with Nazis on the streets. Frightening for a teenager? No, says George Soros.
It was like the film the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, you go through tremendous perils, but you come through unscathed.
Indiana Jones in Budapest. All he needed was the hat.
For a child of 14, to be exposed to that kind of adventure is a gift. That experience was, in some ways, the happiest time of my life. It's a strange thing to say when you know that there's a tremendous suffering around you, but we were fighting evil.
The Nazis, later the communists. Soros says those experiences helped shape him into a high finance risk taker. He left Hungary at 17, studied economics in London, came to America in 1956 with $4,000 in his pocket, he thinks.
I don't remember anymore. You know, these, the figures are so small, they don't mean anything.
A few thousand and a plan. Make $500,000 on Wall Street in 5 years, then retire, live on $50,000 a year, and become a philosopher, his real interest. But George Soros outperformed his five-year plan, showed a talent for making big money, and he says got sucked into the world of business. Money made Soros influential, and he liked that. But there were drawbacks.
In fact, I felt rather uncomfortable because I was appreciated for my ability to make money. And in reality, I would have liked to be appreciated for other qualities. And,
like what?
Well, let's say as a thinker, I was much more interested in ideas. I sought people with whom I could talk about those things rather than people who wanted to talk stocks and stock market.
So money itself, the pursuit of it, has never been that interesting to you?
No, I think that trying to anticipate the future, that is fascinating, and it is almost addictive, and to see whether you're right or wrong. So that is what captured me.
You know, when we think about money, pretty much all we think of, ordinary people like us, is what it can buy. You, it sounds as if that was really never your driving force.
No, of course I like to live well and I like my comfort. And I particularly like the idea that I don't really have to worry about money in, when it comes to spending. I don't need to be concerned how much something costs. For instance, I don't need to have a private plane.
You don't have a private plane?
I don't have a private plane. I don't need to have a private plane.
Got a nice boat anywhere?
I don't need a boat. Money gives me, now that I have a lot of money, gives me a sense of freedom, which is wonderful. And then, of course, it enables me to pursue my ideas, which is also wonderful.
Well, I read somewhere you said your full pursuit is no longer making money. Now it's saving the world.
Well, that's maybe an exaggeration, but yes, why not call it that? Yes, I'd like to make a contribution to make the world a better place, and I think that is possible.
His foundations allocate $500 million a year in some 31 countries, mostly Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. The lives of thousands have been touched by this man, whose personal wealth exceeds that of some nations.
When you walk on a city street and see homeless people sleeping on grates, How do you react to that?
I don't give money to beggars as such. I don't think that's the way to change things. And I also don't look for personal gratitude.
So if someone comes to you and says, "You made such a difference in my life, the work of the foundation."
Well, of course, it's nice to hear it.
Yeah.
I am pleased to know that money has reached them. In effect, I avoid situations where people would come up to me.
Is it embarrassing to you?
It is embarrassing. It's not the reason I do it, and so it's not something that I seek.
George Soros, philanthropist, financier, author of several books on global capitalism. If he's remembered at all, Mr. Soros says, he'd like it to be as a practical philosopher trying to understand what life is all about. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.